Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 93, and today is Thursday, November 1st. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so this is going to probably be a one-episode week, just in case you're wondering why I'm doing the first episode this week on Thursday. As you may know, there was a hurricane that blew through the East Coast, and while thankfully I'm fine, it was certainly something that knocked my schedule out of whack for a little bit, sort of being hunkered down for better part of Monday and a bit of Tuesday. So anyway, that's all. That's why it's good things going on. Everything's good, but we'll be just one show this week. And this week, I'm probably going to be, I think it's probably the last in the weather app series. There may be one more, but this is probably going to be the last one. And so what I'm going to talk about is kind of the road from here. There may be one more about sort of planning for big future releases, but what I want to talk about today is about things like universal apps and talking about making light versions and those types of considerations kind of as you have a established code base and an existing application, and kind of what do you do with that brand, with that presence, with that code, once you kind of have it in the store for a little bit. So if you've been following along, I've been working on a weather app. It's called Check the Weather. It's in the App Store. And it's, been doing fairly well. I've been fairly well received. I'm pretty happy with how it's gone. And now I'm in kind of that funny phase. I've just got out version 1.1, which was actually created for before the app launched, I think, and it was submitted back then. But, that's just the way these things go. And version 1.2 is already on its way in review. And I'm kind of in, it's in that funny phase where you start to get through all the little bugs, nagging problems, things that you didn't really expect or know about, and you kind of get those knocked out. I mean, it's great when I go through help desk now, because rather than having to actually answer a lot of questions, most of the questions either I have a sort of an established answer for, like coming in the next version, or no, I'm not going to do that, or whatever, those types of questions. So it's nice to kind of settle down. There's not a lot of new problems, new issues, new questions. It's, things are kind of starting to settle down, which is great. And it kind of creates this interesting thing of what do you do next? And specifically for me, there's a couple, two questions that I needed to ask myself. And I was going to kind of walk through my thought process on the show because I thought that would be helpful. So first and foremost was, do I make an iPad version of it? Right now the app's iPhone-oriented. And the answer is yes. And sort of, spoiler alert, the next version, i 1.2, when it comes out, will be universal. So it'll be a universal app. And that was a very tricky thing for me. Not whether or not to make an iPad version, because the iPad is definitely a big market, especially from the App Store. I feel like in the paid area, the iPad seems to be a little bit stronger, that there's a bit more there's a bit more tolerance for price on the iPad side, and so it's nice to be in that market. But the reality is, I wanted to have an iPad app because I feel like it's useful there, and it was an opportunity for me to leverage a lot of what I've already done in a way to create value for my customers. Probably simple as that. And I really struggled with the hardest part of this is when you say, okay, I'm going to make an iPad app. There's customers. I could do something cool and interesting on it. Do you make it a universal app, which would be essentially free for people who bought your iPhone app, or alternatively, people who buy your iPad app get your iPhone app free. It's kind of two apps for the price of one. Or do you split them up and have like the Check the Weather HD version? And I wrestled back and forth with this a lot. It was something that I ran into with a lot of, talked to a lot of my friends, talked to a lot of business, kind of people I do have business conversations with and things. And it's a tricky thing. And the reality is, if you split the apps up, you gain a couple of things. You gain probably, at least in the near term, more revenue because your group of people who like the current version are likely to buy the universal or the new version, the HD version. And so you get a little bit of extra money from that. You also benefit from potentially having the ability to offset release schedules. So you can release the iPad individually, independent of the iPhone. You can add features to one but not the other in a way that is a bit more complicated with the universal app because people have different expectations. You also have the ability to have differentiated pricing, that you could have the iPad version be more expensive than the iPhone version. And those are all definitely good pluses. On the downside, you have two apps, which doesn't necessarily benefit you from combined things like combined sales ranking or search ranks or things which seem to be often volume driven. And so it's nice to have those all bundled into one app. It's a little bit simpler in the sense that you have a single app that you are supporting, maintaining, and focused on, and rather than having two different things that you're kind of splitting your time between. You also have the benefit, I think, of having just an easier time explaining what the app is and does to the user, to the customer. That you, it's like, you know, here's the app, go buy it. It's not, if you have an iPad, go buy this. Like, what do you link to is always a little complicated if you have two versions. Especially for something like this where it's not, the apps are very fundamentally similar. It's not like the iPad app necessarily does a lot of different things than the iPhone version. But in the end, I decided to make it a universal app for one reason, and that's pretty straightforward, is I think it's an opportunity to create delight and surprising happiness, or hopefully a little bit of, like, you know, sort of to make my customer happy that they bought the app in the first place. And it's one of these things that is not necessarily the best for monetarily, at least in the short term. But I feel like long term is the kind of business I want to do, where by making it a universal app, which is what I decided to do, everybody who's bought my app, all the people who are with sort of in there from day one, are going to get essentially a free bonus that they bought it not necessarily expecting it to be an iPad app, and now they just one day will hopefully, probably next week, they'll get a, you know, get a little notification in the App Store. They'll open it up and it's like, boom. Check the Weather is now universal. It will work, you know, it's optimized to work on your iPhone or an iPad. And hopefully that's a big positive. That's like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, I bought this app a couple weeks ago, and now I got this other app for free. And that's one of those things that you can't – it's like money can't really buy you that amount of goodwill, I think. Or it's one of the easiest way you can demonstrate the kind of app developer you are to your customer – by not trying to nickel and dime them and feel like you're always asking for more money. It's one of those things if at the end of the day, I'm in this business because I like making apps, and I'm not in it necessarily to make money. I need to make enough money to have a sustainable business that can pay for my living expenses and things. But I like making apps. This is what I do. And so what I want to do is to I'd rather have a smaller group of really people who feel like they are getting absolutely, you know, huge value from the applications I make and are very loyal to them. And then if I ever need to kind of tap into that well, if I have, you know, hit a bad spot and I do something in the app that I'm going to be asking for more money from, then they're going to feel like I'm building up the storehouse of value with those customers that I can tap into later, rather than kind of always breaking even with them of every time I do anything interesting or cool, I'm asking, you know, opening up my hand and saying, hey, you know, give me some money. And that's kind of where I fall in this thing. And it just feels like the kind of business I want to be in. You know, so I'm making it universal. I'm essentially giving something away for free. It's not that much work. It's not like I've spent another 6 weeks working on this app, and now it's the iPad version. You know, my universal version is very similar to the iPhone version. And interestingly, by adapting an app that is adaptable to iPhone 5, the 16:9 resolution, as well as the traditional one, makes it really easy to make an iPad app because everything is already flexible and fluid. So it wasn't too bad. And I think it's just the right choice to make, that if you can – If there are certain instances where maybe it wouldn't make sense, but generally speaking, I'm always going to choose a decision that makes my customer happy over a decision that makes me a little more money. And that's just the kind of business I want to be in. You know, as long as I can make a living doing this, I'm happy, and I'd rather make more people happy as a result. You know, anytime I've seen people who do the thing where they split it up, it's like you'll always get a series of one-star reviews and angry people who are saying, you know, oh man, why you keep, you know, it's like, why didn't you just make it universal? Now I got to buy it again. That's, you know, and fair enough. Maybe those users are a bit entitled. Maybe those customers are having unrealistic expectations, But the reality is they're my customers. Whether their expectations are reasonable or not, whether they're entitled or not, doesn't really matter. They're still my customers. And my job is to make them happy. That's what I'm trying to do. All right, so that's on the universal side. And then on the flip side of that is I'm talking a little bit about a light version of Check the Weather. And this is something that I think is slightly different. It's similar to the universal discussion, but very different in that the purpose of making a light version, which I'm plans to do and I'm roughly almost finished, is to take the existing code base and to allow people who don't buy apps to still use it, to still benefit from it, and for me to make a little money from them. And in general, in the App Store, free apps do very well. There's a lot of volume for free apps. And so what I'm working on right now is Check the Weather Lite. And essentially, this will be ad-supported with an in-app purchase to unlock additional functionality. And the advantage of taking this approach, one, is making a light version is sort of by definition very easy because you are taking away functionality rather than adding new functionality. The only new stuff I had to do was the ads and the in-app purchase, which I've done before and isn't too hard. But the core functionality is all still there. And so by creating a light version, Check the Weather Lite, if you're someone who's never going to buy an app, you can still use what I'm making, and I can still make a few pennies off you if you're just going to look at the ads, or maybe a certain percentage of people will likely upgrade to the full version that unlocks the additional functionality and features that it's never going to be better than the main app. It's just a way that you can. It's almost like a trial for those people. So essentially, it's shareware or ad supported or adware, I guess, but not adware in like the negative malware connotation, but. That's essentially the approach I take, and I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of applications to have a free ad-supported version of it that lets you just tap into this whole other market. A lot of my income comes from advertising, and a lot of it comes from free apps because I think there are a lot of people. I mean, I remember when I first made this weather app, there was a friend of mine who, I showed her the app, she looked at it, and it's cool, and she's like, but what does it do that the free apps don't? And that's just the way her mind works is she looks at an application and her comparison is to something else that's free, not is this worth $2 or is this worth $3 or whatever the cost I'm putting on it. It's how is this better than what's free? And often that's a very hard calculus to come out ahead in because a lot of the free apps do a lot of things. The things they're buying with this app, is performance and thoughtfulness and streamlined functionality and those types of things that aren't necessarily checkmark checklist features that if you're doing one of the product matrix things that Apple loves doing that Microsoft loves doing and trying to lampooning Apple, it's one of those things that you're not going to win on. But I can I can put my app in front of those people and just cut down on a few functionality. The key with a light version, I think, is having the additional functionality be compelling enough that a reasonable number of people will buy it. And exactly how you do that will depend. In this case, I'm still working on exactly where I draw the lines. But the goal is that the app is useful without the in-app purchase, and with the in-app purchase, it feels compelling. It feels like you're missing out. Or if you're a frequent user of the application, you're really going to want to pony up the extra couple bucks and unlock it. And hopefully at that point, that person is already invested in the app. That if they've spent enough time playing with it and using it and they like it, at that point, if you go and ask them for a couple bucks, they're going to be far more open-handed with it than if you're just coming at them from a couple of screenshots and a description in the App Store. So anyway, that's a couple of thoughts I have about Universal Apps and Lite. Like I said, I'm probably winding down this sort of weather app series and starting to talk about other topics thereafter. But anyway, I hope you've enjoyed that and hope you enjoyed today's show. And as always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, I'm on Twitter at @DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at @DavidSmith. The Twitter feed for the show is @DevPerspective, which is where just basically I post either updates about the show and whenever a new episode is available, in case you're curious about that. And otherwise, I hope you guys have a great week, a great weekend. Happy coding, and enjoy your iPad minis, which I imagine for many of us will be arriving tomorrow. Bye.